They invented gefilte fish, so all the fish would be ground up and you wouldn't have any bones.
Interesting.
I'd always heard it had to do with the bones.
If I knew the daf, I would open it right now because we have a whole set of shots over here. But it's in Tzachim. I remember that much.
Where's Pesachim? I can find it.
Yeah, well, just find the right page. It's not even worth
Okay,
looking
so
for it.
I just want to look through them.
Okay,
Where's
just
Pesachim? Can you just tell me?
somewhere up there. Yeah.
Here.
So you take a look over here.
Oh, actually, look at that. That's the one missing one there.
I don't
Orla.
Really?
Orla.
That's so unfair.
So the answer to the question is that the Gemara certainly gives that reason, the reason of
The skin disease, really?
yes. It could be that there are other practical ones, but that's what the Gemara says. And I never heard that other one.
It's Talmudic
that's what I heard.
That book, Talmudic medicine.
It's probably in there. Right. If there's a book about it, so Bruce has pointed out there's a book that was written about Talmudic medicine that probably would have it in there. It talks about this passage in the Gemara. And I'm not saying that the other concern wasn't brought up, throughout the years in amongst poskim, but that's definitely one that the Gemara gives that I recall. Let's
but Rav, Rav, Hinda's point is still very valid. It's not a kashrut issue; it's an issue of concern for health, whether.
Correct. So as is the Gemara's
reason, what the Gemara suggests,
as is the Gemara's reason of saras, I think you get some sort of skin condition, and it's not a castrous issue either. It's a safety issue, and I think it was saras. It was definitely some sort of maybe I'm mistaken, but it was some ailment that would result and.
Maybe when they realized that ailment was fictitious, they had to come up with a different reason. So they came up with the bones.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. I have to look into this whole history also myself.
Curious to know.
Changing your fork is then just
changing your fork is then a is then a is then a is that a homer on top of a homer.
Of course it is. Of course it is. If it's not a cognitive.
Yes. Sorry, Sammy, what were you saying?
I said, of course it is. If it's not a kashrut issue, what
right.
do you have to change the pork for? And also, you mentioned, well, maybe if we realize it, maybe we could change it. How can you change anything, midrabanan? Isn't that the problem we have with Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios?
So, not exactly, because the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos was already acknowledged by the Gemara. The Gemara had was very well aware that they had set a calendar, and they say, nonetheless, we're going to continue with the tradition of second day of Yom Tov, even though we know what day of the calendar it is on the second day. We know it's the 16th of Nisan, but the Gemara, that's Yom Tov Sheni is harder to deal with because the rabbis of the Gemara already dealt with it, and they said, "Minhag Avosenu Biyadenu," and we're keeping the second day. So there was already this sort of legal idea that was put into place by the Gemara that even though we know what day it is, we must still observe the second day of Yom Tov.
So how do you deal with the notion of in Eretz Yisrael of only Yom Rishon?
What was that about the Eretz Yisrael?
How do you deal with the observance of Yom Tov only with the Yom Rishon in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, but because that was what they did, and that was the tradition. The whole idea of Chutz La'aretz keeping the second day was that there was an acknowledgement that this is what we do in Chutz La'aretz. It's what's happened, and we know that it's really the calendar is fixed, but nonetheless, we keep our traditions of our ancestors. And we move forward with the second day of Yom Tov. So we'd have to go back and find the deliberation of whatever Sanhedrin when they were having that discussion and say, no, please, don't make this decision for all time. That's unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your perspective, the story of Yom Tov Sheni, which is why it's different. That the Gemara knew about, They made a clear-eyed decision to observe the second day of Yontif and treat it like it's the first day.
Okay.
Yes, Bruce. Oh, that's important, of course. All right, so we're going to start now with Sif Tes. Simon Reish, Ayin Aleph, Sif Tes, the third line in my edition of the Mishnah Berurah that I have. And this gets to, because last week we finished with the, we talked about the aspect of Tashlum, and that if I forget to say Kiddush on Friday night, or purposeful or not, I can always say Kiddush, not just the Baruch Agafa Bracha, but the whole, the Bracha that ends with Mekadosh HaShabbos, I can say that the next day, during the day, and then we had a whole question, what happens if I only remember is Ben HaShmashos, that Shabbos is about to end. So we that's what we talked through, and now Sif Tes turns to an interesting topic, which is covering the challah at the table when we make Kiddush. And here I'll share what I observed when I was a child at my own family's table, and yeah, so okay. Let's read, and then we'll learn Mishnah Berurah. Okay, tarich shetiye mapa al hashulchan tachas hapas umapa acheres prusa al gabav. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I believe it's based on Tosfos, he says that there needs to be a mapa, or a cloth, on the table underneath the bread, and a mapa acheres, not the same mapa, but a mapa acheres, another cloth, on top of the challah. So one underneath and one on top, not just on top, but on both sides. Take a look now at the Mishnah Berurah, who's going to give us a lengthy understanding of this discussion based on the Yerushalmi. Mem Aleph, Sif Katan Mem Aleph Al Gabav, Betur B'Shem HaYerushalmi, the Tur in the name of the Yerushalmi, cites two opinions. Shelo Yire HaPas, why do I have to cover the challah in general? Shelo Yire HaPas Boshto, She'ed Mikachin Alav Ela Alayayin. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says that the bread should not experience
embarrassment.
Boshef, embarrassment. The bread doesn't deserve it. It doesn't deserve to be embarrassed. So that otherwise the bread will seem embarrassed that we're not making Kiddush on it, but rather on the wine. What an embarrassment for the challah. Where does the embarrassment stem from? It stems from that, but any other time, the Sif and Shulchan Aruch about this, we covered it now at this point many years ago. But what order, if I have a whole plate of food in front of me, what bracha do I start with? I have fruit, I have vegetables, I have bread, I have a bottle of wine on the table. What do I start with? And the answer is, I always start with bread,
yeah.
Right? I always start with the bread. And so now this time, I'm not. What an embarrassment for the bread that I chose to skip over it when it knows that it has a din of kedima, right? It gets preference, but here, not today. And so therefore, we cover it. Therefore, let's make it a conclusion, though. If the reason of covering the challah is because of the embarrassment against the wine, ulefize mekadesh al hapas, they make kiddush over bread, because they didn't have wine available. Eino sarach lechasos alav mapa. There's no point, according to that reason, to cover it with mapa. Nothing. There's no reason at all. Okay? Aval etam acher, shekosav hatur, shuzecher laman. But according to the other reason that is cited in the tour, that the reason that we cover the challah is to remember the man, the miracle of the man. Again, the reason we have shtelechem is for man, but why are we covering it is a further enactment, a reenactment of the miracle of the man. Well, the man was, when it was full, apparently it would look like almost like it was in a box, munach b'kufsa. On top it was covered, and on bottom by dew. So when they would come out, when Bnei Yisrael would come out in the morning to pick the man, there was dew on the surface. Okay, grass is a desert. On the surface, all right? And then also, then there was the man, and then there was dew covering the man. So we do this as well, according to this reason. So then, if that is the case, so Mamela gam mekadesh al hapas tarach lachasos b'mapa. Then if that's the reason, there's nothing to do with being embarrassed about the wine, then even if I'm only making kiddush over the challah, I should cover the challah as a zecher laman. And he says, v'chein nohagim. And he says that the custom is such that I would, if I had to make kiddush over bread, because I didn't have wine available, I should still cover the challah at the table. And even though that's how I'm gonna use that for kiddush, and he's actually going to specify how you we'll specify actually in a moment how I do this kiddush, because if I'm covering it, do I leave it on the whole kiddush? Do I not? Shlomo, and then Simeon. So Shlomo first. Yeah, go ahead.
He's talking about putting something under the challah, right?
Yes.
So isn't that the cover that covers the entire table?
Ah, you're saying, can the tablecloth count as the underneath part?
Right, because if we're going to Zecher Laman, it's supposed to be just only under the bottom of the challah and on top of the challah.
Right.
Here we have a challah, we have a cover on the entire table that has the wine and everything, and then we have a cover on the challah.
Yeah.
My tablecloth was supposed to be for the wine also, right?
So here, a clever response. Probably too sharp would be that a clever response would be that the dew probably didn't just fall on underneath. It wasn't just underneath the spot. The whole ground, right, was probably covered in dew, because all the mun was around, presumably. And so you could say, well, if you have a tablecloth that goes across, okay, it's actually better. It's a better zeichel mun, because there was probably lots of mun and there was probably lots of dew. Now, I don't know that that's a fact, though. Maybe the dew only was in the spot where the mon fell. I wasn't there to witness this. But I will say the following. I told you, I saw my house. My father, by the way, my brother is now a listener of on the podcast version of this. So if I make a mistake, you'll let me know. But my recollection when we at home, that was that when my father was he was of the Mimetic tradition. That's how he grew up again in Czechoslovakia. He was of the Mimetic tradition. He saw what his parents did, and he did exactly that in many aspects of his life. And it wasn't like learning from the Mishnah Berurah, what do I do? He learned from his parents. Whenever on Friday night, on Shabbos day, when we made hamotzi, or when he set the table, he would always take a napkin, and he would put a napkin on the spot where the challah was about to go. We had a tablecloth, and they would put a napkin there. The challah would go on top of that, and then he would put the challah cover on top of it. And I always thought, he does it. I didn't know any better when I was a kid. I was like, I know it because it's crumbs. It's easier to clean up, and you wrap it up. But I wonder, and I don't know. My brother maybe will tell me when he hears this. I don't remember what his parents did. I have a clear recollection on that. But I wonder if this came from the tradition of, you know, his parents and their parents, sort of the Mimetic tradition of you always put something underneath the challah. My father was very much, if he did it, I'd be very surprised that my grandfather didn't do that. And so I wonder if it came from this idea of the mun underneath. So we didn't count according to that, the tablecloth was not good enough, right? He wanted to put something underneath it. I don't remember. I asked my brother what he did when he cut the challah. Did he? Because we had a board. He had a special knife. I don't remember if it was enough though. I think he put the mapa.
Maybe with the cover probably on top of the
challah. Right. Steve is suggesting, why shouldn't the challah board count as the underneath one? So actually, I had a little extra note in here that talks about the case of the challah board, and I wanted to bring that in here. Right, well, let's finish first the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll take a look at the extra part here. Oh, and Simi, I know you had a question, right?
Yeah,
Did you want
to? Well, I wanted to make a point.
Yeah.
But you, young man, should learn. Maybe the old man knew what he was doing.
Correct. So I think that he was very much passed down this tradition of you put a thing underneath. I never asked him, and unfortunately, I can't ask him. But I would love to to really know that answer. We have usually a board underneath. That's what I end up going with.
All right, but the obvious point here is that the challah has a chashivus much more than simply challah. It has the chashivus of lechem mishneh, which was collected by the Jews before Shabbos.
Yeah.
So for that purpose, it has this chashivus, and we don't want to interfere with that. We don't want to diminish that.
100%. There is a certain yes, absolutely. You're right. We're giving a lot of kavod to this bread by reenacting a whole lot of
lechem aponim in the base mikdash.
In terms of
the challahs on the table on Shabbos representing the lechem aponim.
Meaning that they would bake it every Friday. It was fresh every Friday. I mean.
And it's also, I remember,
right. They had 12 of them.
Three bricks, it was kind of like a makubal.
Yeah.
So on his Shabbos table, he would have 12 loaves.
12 loaves, wow.
Because it's a little like a
punch. Must be a Kabbalistic teaching or something.
There is
like
some Kabbalistic teaching that there is a connection there.
Wow. All right. I don't know if it's in the Zohar. I'm not familiar with the source for that, but, that's fascinating. Look, I mean, they baked it fresh every Friday, but there were 12 loaves. That's a lot of a lot of challah to make. Yeah.
So we didn't get up to the part where how you cut the challah yet.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
But some people have the hand of minhag of taking one challah on top of the other challah and then cutting the two loaves together, so that way you get four loaves. You do that in three meals, you get 12 loaves.
Oh, interesting.
Either
we're gonna bet. Right, that's we're coming in Reish Ayin Dalet about which one you break. I didn't hear that you cut the cutting it twice. But we're gonna there'll be a siman Reish Ayin Dalet coming up. A few simanim from now, which we'll talk about how you cut the challah, which challah do you cut, the top one, the bottom one, is that Shabbos day, Shabbos Shabbos night, the night of Shabbos day, different traditions about how you cut it. We will get there. Here this is coming up really beside the idea of Kiddush and the covering, I believe, that relates to Kiddush, because we have to cover the challah at the time of Kiddush. That's why it's coming up in this context here.
Right. So here there's connection with the month, and we're trying to recreate that with cover.
With the dew.
Yeah.
So it says Yerumashma Prima God Mishulachola Tamin. According to all the reasons, the Prima Gadim says, "Die be mekadesh al yain she rechuse ad achar she gamar kiddush." And here also, I'll stop my father in a moment. According to all the reasons, there's enough to make kiddush. It's enough to make kiddush on the wine, and it should be covered. The challah should be covered until after the kiddush is completed. Okay, but then after you finish reciting kiddush, you can uncover the challahs. Okay. That would make sense according to the first reason, for sure, because the whole idea was embarrassment. Well, the moment of embarrassment is over, okay? The bracha is over, etc. According to the man reason, okay, so I had my little zechel aman moment. Everyone could see at the table the cover on top and the cover on the bottom, and we're good. But
can I just interject something?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very cute, the idea of the embarrassment or giving human emotion
to the challah.
Inanimate object.
Yeah.
But halachically, your focus when you're making making kiddush, right? If your focus is on the wine, you don't want to create any confusion that the kiddush is on the wine and not on the challah.
So right.
It would seem to me that's a more powerful reason to cover the challah.
So I think that look, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you make a bar pregaf and say, hopefully you're megala das on whether it's challah or grape juice. But here, what I'll say is, though, the embarrassment piece, I believe that Yerushalmi here, like many Midrashim, are using license to teach a lesson, which is that it's not right. It's not right to make brachos out of order. that when there's different foods on the table, you should get it right. You know, that the bread really should go first. And the covering may actually serve as a halachic workaround and saying, it's not here right now. It's out of mind, out of sight. And therefore, and now this is going to be a napkin by this, which is, I will admit, it's here in my extra notes. We're going to go over in a second. But Howie Bricks was the first one who brought it to my attention. You know, if a shallow shudus, Howie has usually like a list of like fun questions that relate to the parsha or something like that. One time I was in Bishalach, and he asked me, you know, he handed me the sheet with the questions, and or maybe he asked me, and it was about if he asked me the question, and it was about what's the nafkamina between these two approaches, about the challah cover, if you hold the zeche leman or this. And we're going to talk one of the nafkaminas in a moment about about the material of the challah cover. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I think it's a halachic, it's a midrashic license to talk about the halacha of which brachos come first. I don't actually think that the face of the challah turns red when we make kiddush. Though I've never seen it because the challah is always covered. So v'chein b'shacharit. The Mishnah Berurah says here, the same goes for making kiddush in the morning. Tzarech gam kein lios papas mechusa ad achar hakiddush mita amim ha'elu. The challah should remain covered until after you finish the kiddush bracha. Now, uvechaye adam, so pay attention carefully, Hinda. Uvechaye adam mashma, uvechaye adam says, it's clear from his opinion, dilatam zeche laman, according to the opinion of zeche laman, tov shiyeh mechusa ad achar birkas hamotzi. That the challah should remain covered until the end of the bracha of hamotzi. Okay, this was the tradition in my house when we grew up.
We don't like that.
In my house, my father. There were other places, you know, people would take off the challah cover, they little slice it, whatever, and they make hamotzi. My father would not take off the challah cover, which is what his. I'm certain. Again, and my brother was listening. When you listen to the shir, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure my grandfather did this too. If my father did it like this, I'm sure my grandfather did it. He would only take off the challah cover after hamotzi. He probably couldn't tell me why, other than that's what my father did, but that's what happened in my house.
Exactly right.
So some people I've seen, they will keep it covered and they will pick it up covered. He would take his hand, that's not what he did, which is again, he would take his hand, he put his hand on it, make the bracha, amos b'acham aras, remove it and start slicing it.
Right.
That's what you saw in your house?
Probably my grandfather did.
Right. So this was the tradition that I grew up. What's funny is I have this little window into the world of European Jewry because of who my father was and his adherence to what his parents did. So I have this little window into, you know, what was going on in Ungvar, in Usharon, right? So this was... this was at least before my father's tradition. He would always say hamotzi with the challah covered, and then remove and cut.
Aren't you supposed to? Some would say you're supposed to start to make.
Right, you make a little slit.
Right,
you know. So he didn't do that. But I'm not saying right or wrong. He didn't. That was not his tradition. But there are people who, even if they do keep it covered, I've seen this. I've seen both been hugging me when I've gone to different people's house. They'll lift up the challah for hug and give a little, put it, grab it back up. And then hamotzi lechem in haaretz. But achai adams, I don't know what they do in the farmer household. What do you do in the farmer household?
Keep the cover on.
Ah, and like the tradition of the achai adam. Okay, so you're holding on to your family's tradition.
Well, that's because what has gone on in my family.
Right. This is what achai adam does. And he says, and then it says here, Mishnah writes, Kostav le'elia rabba v'derech achayim, kishimekadish alapas, if you end up having to make kiddush over bread. So here's what he suggests. This is if you're making kiddush over the bread. If you're making kiddush over wine and you're just doing challah over, then we'll talk about that in a few simanim. So yaniach yadav al hamapa ve'al halecha mishne b'shas la'kiddush, which is kind of like what my father would do. But he don't, again, which is the regular hamotzi. Put your hand on the challah at the time when you're making, but on top of the mapa, which is on the lecha mishne, as you're making kiddush. Which means you said vayachulu, you were covering your hand, you put your hand on the cover. When you get to hamotzi, yigale halecha mishne, right? He would uncover the lecha mishne, v'yaniach yado alehem, v'yivare hamotzi. He would uncover it, put his hand on the bread, now with no cover, make hamotzi. Now you have all kiddush brachas still to make. Ukashiyagiela Hashem, right? When you got to God's name, he would take the challah and lift it up. Right? Like Yashem Lamala Ach Yigmor Hashem, until he finishes God's name. Yanichem, then what do you do? You put it back down. Right? He said Right? And then put it down. When he completed Hamotzi, then Yachzor Bichasta Bamapa. Cloth goes back over top to cover it. And he would put his hand on them. This is what you would do according to the Eliyahu Rabbah on the Derech HaChaim. When you're making Kiddush over bread, you start covered, hand on the challah, or you can't hold it, because you usually hold a cup of wine. So what do you got? So instead, you put the hand over top of the challah. When you get to Hamotzi, you uncover, you lift up, you put your hand on it. When you get to Hashem's name, you lift it up, put it back down, and then you're back, hand on it until the end of Hamotzi, then recover it all for the rest of the bracha of Mekadosh HaShabbos that you're going to make afterwards. So that way, what you're doing is essentially for the bracha Rishona part, you're having a more direct acknowledgement of this is what I'm eating. So I want to have it, like anytime you eat, you're supposed to really hold it in your hand. Like if you're making a bracha on an apple, and a bracha on the apple, you should be holding the apple in your hand, ready to eat it when you make a bracha pre'eitz. Now, here we have an interjecting bracha because I'm making the kiddush over, if it's wine, but here in this case, over the bread. Therefore, it's interjecting.
You're saying motzi. So there's, you make the motzi in place of the bar pri'eitz goven, right?
Correct.
And then you're saying the kiddush bracha.
Correct.
So there's a little bit of a hefek hadas between the motzi and the eating of the bread.
Right, but which is allowed. Remember, anytime you do berachas mitzvah, like he, under the chuppah, the rabbi will make a bar pri'eitz, and then the bracha for the kiddushin. When you go to a bris, baruch atah Hashem, okay, machlam bar pri'eitz, then baruch atah Hashem, kiddushi di beten, the chok be'erosam, etc. That is a standard how you enhance the mitzvah. You make bar pri'eitz, and while you're in the midst of the bar pri'eitz, holding to drink, you make the bracha for the mitzvah. Yeah. Avdol, exactly. The bar pri'eitz comes first, and then you have the bar mariyash, and the b'samim. Yeah, the b'samim actually comes first. And bar mariyash, b'samim, then it's actually machlokas in the Gemara about the order.
Then Avdol.
So that's not atypical here, because I'm using the bread here in this situation, that I have this kind of bracha that's hanging over it. But I cover it back up because we want this. It's not because of the embarrassment factor. It's really because we want the Zveche Laman. We want to remember the man. And as we begin the meal, we're making Kiddush, we want to have that experience. Okay, so I had to interject with my Hamotzi, putting my hands directly on the challah. I put it back down and then back to covering the man. Simeon, I saw your hand up. And Hindu. Oh,
I think Hindu also raised her hand, Rob.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Hinda.
Hinda, you want to go? Yeah.
Yeah. I just wondered, does it have to be a cloth? Or if you like to serve your challah warm from the oven and it's enclosed in foil, does that count? Or do you have to have a cloth on top of the foil?
So I would say you probably should put a cloth on top of the foil based on what we're learning. Why? Because the language, because if you're creating the dew experience. So the idea is about having something on the bottom and something on the top, and not necessarily the same, even though dew is dew. But the idea is to have something on top and something on the bottom. You could say, well, I'm enveloping it. Right. But I think for the symbolism, the idea is to have something on the bottom, and the foil could maybe be the bottom part, even though it's coming up, so you're keeping it warm. But I think something should go on top because you're giving it the sort of the double cover. You know, I get that it's wrapped up all around. And it's and by the way, as Richie's point, that maybe it's even better because Murach Bakufsa, it's really in a kufsa, it's in a box. I don't know. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is correct. It's a good question. Would aluminum foil all the way around, if something was to rely upon, you could definitely say that it's the imagery of Murach Bakufsa. Somehow it's striking me as like it should be two separate things. I don't know. That's how I'm reading this. That Because I'll tell you why also. I'll tell you why also. That's coming to me like a little more reasoning here. The mappa that's on top and underneath the bread in the description of the Shulchan Aruch, no doubt could probably come up and wrap around the other one. And yet he says that there should be a mappa underneath, you know, that's tachas apas, that's sort of a unique one that's underneath the bread. Let's say it can't come around on top of it. But umapa acheres, his words are umapa acheres, prusa al gabav, another mappa on top. Again, I think this is just an attempt at really driving home the symbolism here of the, or the, you know, the, when the man would fall and it was the Jews would come out to pick it, there was dew underneath and dew on top. And by putting two things there, you say, well, but one thing is good, but putting, by putting two things there, you really drive home the symbolism of this is the Zecher Laman moment. Again, if somebody did this where they only used the aluminum foil, and then I don't think anybody will be, I don't, there's nothing to achieve about this. Being like, if you make kamotzi without doing this, okay, I mean, you missed out on an opportunity. That's the worst thing, is you missed out on an opportunity. And you might even claim that it's still, what you're describing is still good enough. And again, according to the first reason, certainly the aluminum foil is fine. The whole part is the embarrassment that the, you know, the bracha is in the incorrect order, right? You should really be starting with hamotzi. For that reason, the aluminum foil would suffice, undoubtedly.
Dew in the desert
should be the second nace. As Bruce was just pointing out, dew in the desert is a nace in and of itself. Forgetting the mud falling from the sky, but having dew in the desert is already miraculous.
Must you have the challah on the table, though, before you make hamotzi?
Yes.
You have to have it when you make kiddush?
Yes. That is very important. I will admit that there have been times that I have actually, you know, in making getting the table ready, that I would make kiddush, everyone would be singing that, and like I forgot the challah on the counter in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
It's happened, it's important to have the challah on the table because of the symbolism as you're bringing in, you're being mekadesh the Shabbos, the symbolism of the shteh alechem should be on the bread as you begin the meal, the shteh alechem, and, you know, which is, again, is zeche leman, and therefore, once the lechem has to be at the table, right, that's the whole chap, and poris mapo mekadesh. Why have to cover the bread at the table with a cloth? Why not just remove it? No, because it should be there. There's two loaves of bread should be there as you begin the meal. It's an important symbol of the Shabbos, as of our beginning of our Shabbos meal. So now I wanted to read a couple of my extra comments here because I thought they were fascinating because they talk about some of these questions that arise. In this scenario, 47, 48, 49. Okay, so I guess Tommy, you have it. So I'm going to start over at 47 here. So for everyone else, you'll just listen, and we'll help you along here. So l'inyan kisui. So number 47. L'inyan kisui shapas. So this is talking about the embarrassment factor. If you're holding of the embarrassment factor, and here's my Howie Bricks nafkamina, right? L'inyan kisui shapas near ace. Darko, what if I have a cover, but it's see-through? So I cover the challah, but it's a see-through cover. So I can see it. Mamish, only the Jews can make a shiloh like this.
I don't know, it's a double. It's naked and...
Right.
That's not a
So he says, kegon nylon, shakuf. A Ziploc bag, basically. Right? So your challah is in a Ziploc. So you can see the challah, but it's covered. And by the way, it's covered on both sides because it has a Ziploc. Okay. So, v'chadoma. So, you're using nylon shakuf. Okay. Das Rav Nissen Karlitz. Yes, he weighed in on this shiloh. Shalafi atam shalot yir'eh hapas boshta ein kisui kaze nechta v'kisui. If you hold of the reason of embarrassment, this does nothing. The chal is looking out from the bag in his muffled voice and saying, what are you doing? Right, and is embarrassed, and you can see that the challah is turning red, etc. Shkevan hargashas haadam who omed who lifnei pas geluya. A person looks at this and says, "This is bread in front of me." A person looks at it; and they're not thinking it's covered bread; it's uncovered bread. I'm looking at the challah. I see that there are There's the raisins on this challah. I'm looking at the challah with the clarity. Umeida, but there's another postik, a very big cultural postik. Hagaon or Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shekislui nylon, he paskin kislui nylon, moil aflitam zed. No, kislui nylon even works according to this first reasoning. V'haikar hu shetia pas mechuse. And at the end here, that you know, it's better. It sounds like haikar shehu shetia pas mechuse. It should be covered. Meaning, it's fine, but lechatchila invest more in more than just Ziploc. You know, get a nice challah cover. Okay, so therefore, if you're using if you end up whatever, you're somewhere in a hotel somewhere or here, whatever, you're making avotsi and it's in a plastic bag because you got nothing better. So it's fine. Again, for the purposes of Shabbos, you know, it's nice to put a nice challah cover on there if you haven't. Anyways, all right. The next comment here. This is an interesting one because this happens often. By the way, we had dinner here on the shul Friday night. A lot of people there and a lot of challah around the room. And sometimes the challah, when these caterers set it up, is not covered like it was, by the way, this Friday night. The kiddush was made in the shul and people proceeded to go into the social. So maybe this is less of an issue in that world. But it's interesting. If you didn't notice, by the way, I missed kiddush. Anybody know what I was doing? By the way, I ran to the kitchen. I told on Monday at the staff meeting here, sometimes I'm a part of, and I said, I said to the staff, I said, can you make sure the caterer has two challahs ready? Because after davening's over, I'm going to quickly go and I'm going to run and bring the challah wherever we're making the kiddush, because of this idea that when you make kiddush, the challah should be challah present. Anyways, I made it too late. I was like, I grabbed two rolls and I was just walking in as everyone was walking out for the kiddush. I made kiddush myself, but really, ideally, you're supposed to make kiddush with the challah there. But he says here, "Va'anashim rabim hayoshvim saviv shulchanot." Let's say you have many people sitting around many tables. U'munachas lifneim pas b'chol shulchan. There's bread on every table, like at a lot of these dinners. So, kasta b'sheilos tshuos igros Moshe. So, Moshe Feinstein wrote in his shuos, "Sha'afim yotzim yidechovas kiddush me'adam echad." Even if people are being yotze from one person who's making kiddush for the room. They should make sure to cover the pas that's in front of them, the bread that's in front of them. So, you know, Rabbi Morgenstern is making kiddush in the middle of the room. Everyone at their own table should take their challah and they should take their napkin there and they should put it over top of it. Like we had a team dinner a few weeks ago and I had the team before I made the kiddush because the challahs were just sitting on the table. I said, everyone take your napkin, put it over top of it. You should still make sure to this. Hen lefiatam shekis leapas zechelaman. The embarrassment factor, it's not a problem, because if I'm on the right hand, I'm on the table 10, which is in the corner of the social, and the rabbi is making kiddush in the dance floor. So what does my challah know of embarrassment? I'm not the one who's embarrassing them. He's like, oh, that other guy is making kiddush over there. The challah is not worried about that. But I'm not the one making the bracha, so there shouldn't. For the first reason, it's not a problem. I don't need to have covering. But the idea of Zeche Laman is very important, right? And therefore, even if you have somebody making kiddush on the other side of the room, you should still cover your challah. Kevin Shechovas kakisui eina mechamas hayayin ela mechamas apas atma. The obligation comes from the bread itself, mazel tov, on the Chagach Torah. Vehein lefiatam shelotira hapas boshta. And according to the reason that the bread shouldn't be embarrassed, for the reason of embarrassment, that's not a factor. Okay, but Bechain Dasa and Estim Karlitz, Meidach Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, Shofia Tam Shotira Pas Boshto, Ain Sarach Lachas the Pas Ela Amakadish, Umisha Tor Mehayain. Only the people who make the Kiddush and who taste the wine, they need to worry about covering the challah for the reason of embarrassment, okay? And he adds, for the host of Shulamath, that what's happening practically? You know, people coming to our Shulamath Al-Marbach, I'm asking about all these affairs that are happening, you know. Nogin lahakel, shalol lachasas esapasa nimseis al shal shulchan asachir. Lamaisa, he says, if you're not going to cover it, so again, if nobody covered the challah, it's fine. Except the person who's making the kiddush should look at their challahs, cover their challahs, and anyone who's going to taste the wine. Technically, you don't have to taste the wine on Kiddush. As long as the person who made Kiddush, you know, drinks enough of the wine, I'm Yotze, I'm good for Kiddush. It's mitzvah ben amufchar to taste a little bit of the wine, but if I don't, it's still I'm Yotze. But if I'm gonna, so those people have to cover the challah, but otherwise you don't need to cover the challah. So therefore, the Rav Shlomo Zalman is really paskening here that people who go to catered affairs for Shabbos are good. Okay, let me just where was the other one more comment here? Wanted to add here. Oh, here. So here he writes. Okay, there's number 49, Tommy. Even the tablecloth that's spread over the shulchan. So if this karlat says shomo ila leinyan zeh, that can count as one of your covers. So if the challah, which is not like what my father did, right, who put an extra napkin underneath, but he says that the tablecloth for this karlat paskins that the tablecloth itself can be one, and then you want to and you put something on top of it, but he adds. Shaf imyesh keresh tachas tachalos. I look over the word keresh. I didn't know what it was. You know what it was? Yeah, board. The wooden board. Okay, yeah. Tachas. Right. Correct. By the way, in the description of the Mishnah, the crushim. I didn't hit me when I was looking. When I was learning. I was like, oh, crushing. Right. Okay, it's the word. So then you're talking about the board, the challah board, right? That people use. He paskins ain't who chotzeitz ben hachalos to ben hamapa. He says it's interesting. It doesn't count as the underneath as the dew. Probably because it's wood. It's not, doesn't give off the, it's not flexible. Dew is, you know, is not a wooden board. But he says it's not a chatzitza. So even if you have the wooden board where the challah is, and underneath it you have the tablecloth, he says it's not a chatzitza. Bein hachalosu bein hamapa, and therefore that can count as your underneath mapa, and you'll put a challah cover over top of the challah. So on the board, that is not a chatzitza. Yeah, you're good, right? You can wipe away the sweat over your brow. Otherwise, right, correct. By the way, it would be correct. If anybody knew such a psak halacha, the challah board business would be done. Right, correct. So anyone who puts their challah on the challah board and then covers it over top, you're fine. You have your tablecloth underneath, your challah board, and then your challah over the top. Just about, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, you're gonna start the meeting there. No worries. Okay, so let's just we're gonna do a little bit of yud, and then we'll pause. Okay, so hopefully any shilas now before we move on, because this is it. Yes, go ahead, Simeon. Any about the challah? Yeah.
Rav, isn't there a time factor between the recitation of a bracha and the following act over which the bracha was made?
You're saying there's a time limit, sort of?
Yes. You're putting your hands under the mappa, you're making the bracha, and you take off the mappa, and then you have to slice the challah. But you already made a bracha a couple moments ago.
Yeah.
Is there a difficulty with that?
Yeah, so we'll talk more about this in Reish Ayin Dal, but I will just say, I'll make a lachas right now, that when you make hamotzi, you cut the challah immediately after the bracha is over, and the person who made the mevarech should take the first slice that they, you know, cut and take a bite right away, because that minimizes the time. But for everyone else sitting around the table, they should all sit quietly and wait. As long as the reason you want to minimize the time between the bracha and the achila is because you don't want a hefsek to be created. Here, you have no other, if you're sitting on the other end of the table, you have no other option than to wait. And you have to just sit quietly. It's really important during that time not to talk, not to create a hefsek or hesek hadas. And to the extent that the person who's slicing up the challah can do it with some good taste, that's best. But the person who makes the bracha should try to take a bite first, right after they cut one piece, take a bite, and then continue cutting for everybody else.
Slicing the lower
in Reish Ayin Dal. Yes, Reish Ayin Dal. We're going to talk about which challah, the upper challah, lower challah. You know, ein ma'avir na la mitzvos, but use the bottom one. So it's going to be a whole discussion in Reish Ayin Dal. So yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there before you know it. So in Sif Yud here, we write, Mikadesh al Hayayin. Okay, by the way, this is also another one that everyone has different traditions for. I know I do exactly what my father did, even though I'm aware of all these other opinions. What position should I be in when I make Kiddush? Standing, sitting, sitting, standing, sitting. You know, it's like a whole, there are many traditions. I'm sure if I went around the table here, I'd probably get different opinions. So, Sif Yud, Mikadesh al Kos Malayayin. But before we even get into the position of how I make the Kiddush, you're supposed to make the Kiddush with a full cup of wine. You're like, what else was I supposed to do? So here is a funny thing. Why shall I eat pogum? So it shouldn't be pogum. It shouldn't be pogum. Is like
flawed.
Flawed. It's a good way to put it. I mean, it's a flawed cup. There are many halachas about kos pogum. What's a kos pogum? If somebody takes you have a cup of wine. It could be full, by the way. You take a little sip of it. I put it back down. That's now a kos pogum, right? You can't take that cup now and pick it up and make a new kiddush, right? Somebody else can't pick it up and make kiddush with that cup. There's ways to fix the kos pogum, but you're not allowed to. And one of the things that you should do when you make kiddush is that your cup should be full. You're looking at me like, why wouldn't it be full? I'll tell you why you wouldn't make it full. Let's say you had a huge goblet of wine, and you're like, I don't want to drink all this wine. Right? If I fill it up, I'm going to use 3/4 of my bottle of wine. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste the wine. I'm not drinking that much right now. I want to drink a little bit and drink more, you know, later and tomorrow, whatever. So you know what? The answer is you should use a smaller cup. As long as you have a revius of yayin in there, you're good enough in terms of the minimum shear. But however big your cup is, as long as it's bigger than a revius, your cup should be full when you make kiddush.
Well, yes, Dave. You don't know.
Yeah.
But when you get older, not everybody's hands are as steady as they used to be.
And you're spill, right.
And you fill up your coast, and you see it. People think of something as doing this,
yep.
And everyone's going to end up on
the... Everyone's going to end up, right, correct. Yes. So here's what I would say. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah about this, and in terms of his definition of full, what is a full cup? And then I'll give my two cents on this question. So he writes here, Rasif Katan Membez, Al Kost Male, the Kost Shel Kiddush v'Havdala hu Bichlal Shar Kost Shel Bracha de Tzarech Shiye Male. The Kost of Kiddush and Havdala is included in the amongst other cups that need to be full when I make the Bracha. Another example of this where it first comes up, Echanit Kala B'Simen Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Beis Dahaga. This comes up in the Simen about benching. So when you use a cup at the end of benching, you should use a Kost Male Yayin, a cup full of wine. That's where it first comes up, and the Ramah discusses it over there, that it should be a full cup of wine. V'im einenu male v'ein lo kos acher le'aros besocho. And if it's not full, and there's no other cup to pour into, meaning a smaller cup to pour into, so that way that cup is full. So mutar lekadesh alav, you can still use it to make kiddush. Meaning, if you don't have kos malayayin, you still make kiddush. It's just you're losing a hidur of it. It's really the right thing. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about that in a moment. I'll give you my definition of weighing in. And he says, "Mutar lekadesh alav kevin sheyesh shir revius." You have a revius in there, b'hayayin shebesocho, that the wine inside it. The muchach lekamei b'sif yud alef, as we'll discuss later on in sif yud alef, where they talk about the pouring of the cup of wine for other people who want to taste in the wine. So I will just turn to page, the Simon Kuf page. Actually, I was going to pull it up on here, but let me pull it up in person with the mission we're on here. But it wasn't this one. Actually, last night when I was preparing. So, in Kuf Peida, which again is a Simon about Birkas HaMazon on the wine and Birkas HaMazon. Here we go. Kuf. Oh, I grabbed it the wrong way. Sorry. It's a bay, it's not Allah. Sorry. Okay.
You see, if you hold Ein Mavirin, Rav, we should have learned from the Sefer you took down.
Right. Well, that's That's the challenge of making mistakes, though, when I'm in the middle of. Okay, Kufpe Gimel Sif Beis. So Kufpe Gimel Sif Beis. The Rama here says that he says the coast del bracha yim al enu shehe male al kol gidosav. In terms of full, right? He says it should be full al kol gidosav. The word gidosav, I just want to make sure I translated it correctly for myself. The surface of the edges, right? Right. Right. Correct. So you're supposed to, right, it's supposed to be up to the top.
Yeah, but
I think you have to use a little bit of, maybe I'm being too, you have to use safe. Look. Right. So I think it should be the kind of cup when you look at it, people say it's a full cup. Right. And that matters in other areas of halacha, how people see things, how people define it. By the way, it comes up, and I don't want to open up a can of worms here. So let's not go down this rabbit hole. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, is it called bread, b'shem uvetoar, right? When you're trying to define certain things, that tells you that, you know, how people perceive something does matter in halacha. I mean, if something seems like it's full, it's full. I have poured wine before, and I'm like, oh, there's still a little bit of space there, and I'll pour. But there, if you look, you go under the microscope, there's still space there. You know, so I think that's considered full. I will say that I've been
movement in your hand
without. Right, correct. If I think, you know, I want a full cup of water. I had a full glass of water. Doesn't mean it was to the top. That's a full glass, and then how you will define full, I think in this situation matters. I mean, even though it has to go up all kol gedosav, according to the Rama, I was wondering if the Mishnah Berurah actually over there weighed in, because I didn't look. Oh, here he does weigh in. Actually, let's see what he says here. Oh, look at this. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it over there. I didn't look at this one before today. Even though something will spill as a result on the ground. It sounds like he thinks it should be full. But there are those who don't fill it up, you know, all the way to the tippy top because of this reason that it's going to spill. I didn't look at this before. You could still call it full. That's why I don't think you need to have it spilling. And he right now, I should have prepared this part. I didn't. But the Mishnah Berurah says exactly the reason I said, which is it's still. People call that full. Okay, fine. So bottom line is that we see here very clearly that when you make a kiddush on a full cup, it doesn't mean that it has to be spilling over the top. Some may hold like that, and that's fine. No, I don't hold. Sometimes I spill because I also have actually sometimes some unsteady hands. But I'm Fred Young, which is whatever. I don't know what that means. But yeah. Anywho, so that's the whole thing about Kos Maliyin. All right. What time is it? Let's pause here. We'll talk about Kos Pug because that's a whole topic of itself. But I have to go back over here about Kos Pugum. And talking about how to define Kos Pugum, how to get yourself out of a Kos Pugum situation. We'll talk about that next time. And then we'll talk about how the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch envisions the positioning of yourself for Kiddush. You say it's standing, do you say it's sitting? Different opinions here. Why we start with the Yom HaShishi, Vayechulu HaShamayim. Anybody know what acronym is the hidden in Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim?
God's name.
Hashem's name. Good, God's name. If you took the first letter of Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim, it spells God's name.
Okay.
That's correct. Very good. And so that's why some people say, oh, you have to stand during Vayechulu because we start by standing because we're talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, but then you can sit afterwards. And in terms of when you're making Kiddush, you're supposed to look at the candles that are in the room, that are illuminating the room. So there's a lot of customs that we have around Kiddush time. So we'll talk about those. And I'm sure everyone around the table will have an opportunity to share what the what minhag they saw their parents doing, when they made Kiddush. Yom Hashishi by Chulu Hashamayim. Look at the first thing about the first letter of each one of them. Okay. Sorry, my 9-year-old over here is asking. He's trying to do the letters in his head right now. It's such a thing. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna turn the recording off. Hold on one second. All right. We'll stop here. Just as a head.